If you can somehow solve a small problem, whether this is that weekly summary for your boss, or if it's writing better emails, or I just published this prompt about a value proposition canvas, or even if you just want to do something about your business that it can do better and showcase the possibility with AI, start small and then have quick wins and then build on that. All the employees essentially are getting a promotion that they didn't ask for. And that means from, let's say I'm a graphic designer, I used to push pixels. Now I don't push pixels anymore. There's an AI that's doing that, especially in the early stages of something. Now I, the graphic designer, have to step up a rank and I'm directing the vision now. So all these types of promotions come with new type of skills that we have to learn. So upskilling is huge for a workforce. Even with data that's coming out of those models, you know, let's say there's like a data analyst that's being replaced by AI that spits out all kinds of insights. You still have to turn those insights into inspiration and then motivation to do drive change in your organization.
Talk to me about your perspective. Does the perfect tool exist? Or are we better using whatever tool we have, knowing that any of them are going to give us this massive boost?
The perfect tool is...
Hi, and welcome to the AI Transformation Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Mast, and today I've got with me Camille. We had chatted, I'm trying to think, what was it, a month or so ago, if I'm not mistaken? I may be totally
right about
wrong.
That. Yeah.
And had such a great conversation. I wanted to bring him on to chat a little bit about AI and all that. Both of us are really interested in AI and involved in it at a large extent. But instead of me going ahead and sharing and singing your praises, why don't you take just a moment and tell the audience a little bit about yourself and who it is that you serve?
Yeah, for sure. First of all, thanks for having me, Jonathan. Big fan, really. When I first got on Facebook to kind of look into what's going on AI on Facebook, I mean, I feel like you're the biggest guy out there. At least that's what it appeared to me to be the case. But yeah, Camille Bank, I'm originally from Germany. I was an industrial engineer, came to the States to start a couple of companies, and that ranged from all the way from renewable energy back in Hawaii. That was about 15 years ago, 16 years ago, all the way to fragrance, where I launched a fragrance company with my brother, who's the biggest fragrance influencer in the world. That's still funny to say that sometimes, but we basically created that category. However, along those things, including trying to start some accelerators in Hawaii, I was always a passionate business consultant. I always liked the process more than a specific industry or product or service. And so I was always curious about, you know, how people actually solve problems and how I can help them with it. So naturally, while I was in a consulting project, you know, I always knew about AI, but until November 22, it wasn't really graspable, right?
Yes.
With ChatGPT. And then it just naturally turned into, yeah, an afterburner to whatever I was doing as a consultant at the time.
I love that.
So now, basically, to answer your question, I really focused on it, and I'm trying to be the translator from the high tech environment of AI to the application in business. And that kind of is similar to what an industrial engineer does as well, only more on the manufacturing side, maybe, or supply chain side, translating whatever the designers want and then working with the engineers, right? So I'm kind of finding myself in a way in a similar role again, but now working with AI. And that's what
it
is.
I love it. Thanks for sharing that. No, I appreciate it. So I'm curious from your perspective, Camille, you know, as we talk to different people, you and I both talking to business owners and that, I seem to sense there's two schools of thought, and it seems to be shifting a little bit. You know, a year or so ago, it was, oh, we're going to wait and see, or we don't know. And then there were, of course, some early adopters like you and I, and there were others as well. But I'm curious, are you seeing that change as we head into 2025? I'm seeing some shifts there, but it almost seems to me like that positions are getting almost more oppositional. In other words, there's the, I'm never going to use it, and okay, I got to figure out how to embrace it. What are you seeing as you talk to business owners as it relates to that embracing of AI?
I can agree with that in the sense where it's much on one side, it depends on the room, right? So whenever I say, I'm the AI guy, people are like, oh, I can't listen to this anymore, right? AI everywhere.
Yes, AI, I get that, hype, yes.
Right? But it's easy to explain it. Yeah, I'm the AI guy, right? Rather than diving right into the deep end. But on the other side, I do actually, I was just telling you, I was at this interesting weekend with a lot of business owners. And it's much easier once they recognize, hey, you're the guy who can help me actually put that thing to work beyond the hype. They're much more open to just start a conversation and dive right into it. So yes, I agree. On one end, I think there's some sort of like a fatigue effect in the general mind. And then on the other side, there are companies that see maybe what some of competitors were doing and they feel like, oh, you know what? I got to really step up my game. I can't. One guy just left me a voicemail this morning. Like, I don't want to become a dinosaur, right?
Right, and, yeah.
Yeah, so yes, I can agree with that sentiment.
What do you see as we're heading into, you know, as we're recording this and going live in March of 2025, what do you think 2025 holds for businesses that are looking at AI? Any good ideas? I don't. My crystal ball, I know, is a little cloudy and cracked, but curious what your perspectives are, what some of the shifts are you think we're going to see?
You know, I mean, one thing I think we can agree on is that it's hard to predict what's going to happen next because the growth still seems to be accelerating. I measure it by a rate of awe by myself. You know, yes. Every time I feel like this is freaking magic, right? Every week you would think that, and I don't know if you feel the same, but I'm in it 24/7, right? And there's nothing else that I really talk as much about as AI. And I still get my mind blown every week by new things, whether this is, last week it was Grok 3, the uncensored version, and just the sheer effects that I got on some of my Zoom calls with some people from my communities and in person. I just gave this thing to my neighbor yesterday, and he likes to argue on Twitter, let's say.
Yeah.
I just put it into the argumentative mode. Oh my God, he wouldn't give me my phone back, you know? And so that was kind of eerie, but you know, I'm just getting my mind blown all the time, and to me still feels like magic. So when it comes to business, I think there are two fronts that businesses really have to focus on, especially this year. I think still it's not too late to empower your employees and to really have them I talk about something like all the employees essentially are getting a promotion that they didn't ask for, and that means from, let's say I'm a graphic designer. I used to push pixels. Now I don't push pixels anymore. There's an AI that's doing that, especially in the early stages of something. Now I, the graphic designer, have to step up a rank, and I'm directing the vision now. So all these types of promotions come with new type of skills that we have to learn. So upskilling is huge for a workforce. I think when you combine the domain expertise of people that are in businesses plus AI, that's great, but you need certain skills in order to really leverage. And I'm talking about meta skills. For me, this is specifically adaptability, obviously, like lifelong learning, enjoying to learn and being open to learn, not just saying, yeah, that's, we're doing this because we've always done it this way.
Right.
It's like a big no-no, right?
Yes.
The other thing is really critical thinking, because we can create a lot of output now, a lot of data, but not all of it is necessary. Sometimes we have to think, okay, what's actually important to do, or even down to the level, like, do we actually need this tool, or is it just part of the hype? What workflow do we have to automate? That type of critical decision making and thinking is really important. And then finally, the skill that I think is really important going forward, and then those three skills are actually good for any type of disruption in your life, it's storytelling. Because even with data that's coming out of those models, let's say there's like a data analyst that's being replaced by AI that spits out all kinds of insights, you still have to turn those insights into inspiration and then motivation to drive change in your organization. So that's why I think those three skills are important. On the business side, long answer.
No, that's great.
On the business side, super important to really nail down your process flows, documentations, almost having little teams. So if you don't have it in your company, you have to have like a process owner that can really nail it down and say from order to customer, What's the process like, right? In all kinds of fields of your business. One of my clients right now, we're just trying to automate just customer service. Like you would think the most basic thing, but apparently, you know, Zendesk is making it really hard to export all the tickets at once. Was what I'm hearing. Bet. You know, and I know why, but they don't even have an FAQ like this customer, or they don't even have an onboarding of what a customer representative should be able to answer. They've been just winging it somehow, right? And especially in the small to medium-sized business segment, I think that's very often the case. And if you can, the more you can really map out your processes for any type of thing that you're doing in your business, the easier it will be to integrate AI and make those things much more efficient and cheaper.
Mm, I think that's some really good insights. And I definitely think you're right. As we head into we're already in 25, but we're going to see a lot of that happening. You know, I'm curious from your perspective, Camille, tool-wise, I know a lot of the people that are listening to the podcast, they played around a little bit, they've tried different things, but it seems like every business owner I talk to is looking for the perfect tool. And they're on this like quest. It's almost like, you know, the old movies we used to see, Raiders of the Lost Ark. They're on this quest for the perfect tool. Talk to me about your perspective. Does the perfect tool exist, or are we better using whatever tool we have, knowing that any of them are going to give us this massive boost? And I'm just curious your perspective.
It's kind of a cop out, but I'll put a nice name on it. Okay. I just came up with that a couple of weeks ago. I'm going to write an article about it. The perfect tool is you have to develop a human API in your business, meaning have a person in your organization that you can just dedicate part of their time to become that fractional chief AI officer, whatever, the person that really takes care of looking out there, what's possible, and then comparing that to what are the workflows, what are the problems that we're trying to solve, and how these go together. I think that's probably your best bet when it comes to, look, I just want to pay money and have the problem go away. Then you still have to pay a person, but it's not going to be one tool. That's the general thing.
Well, I love that human AI, the human API. I think that's what so many people are missing, is they're trying to figure out how to replace, when in reality, I think, you know, AI oftentimes, at least in the initial stages, does its best job when it's amplifying what your team already knows, their skill and their experience. I know I've seen that on my team by giving my team access to the same tools that I want to use. It's allowed them to be more productive. It's allowed them to be happier in what they do. I mean, candidly, the amount of productivity that some of my team members now demonstrate because they're leveraging AI is probably equivalent to 2 or 3 times what they could have done even a year ago. And it blows my mind away, because they're the conductor in front of this orchestra of the tools that they have to get things done. And I love where you're headed with that. That's fantastic. I love that.
Let me ask you a question on that point really quick though, because, and that's something that I learned. That's kind of, you know, sometimes we have to kind of, like, especially you and I, we have to put our brain aside and try to understand how other people think. I heard recently that if I'm an employee and I use AI tools to generate really great outcome, like fast and all that, there's almost like a disincentive for me to share my workflows or to share how I work with AI. In that case, is that something that you notice as well? Or as an employer, do you feel like that employee now, because they shared that they're working with AI, but the outcomes are great, they're somewhat less valuable, or you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, I do. I think because he's using AI.
I think, first of all, I just was at a conference with a number of business owners out in San Diego, and we were chatting about this week before last. And I think one of the big differences is that the owners there, and these were all very successful companies, were trying to figure out how they could get their teams to embrace it, because they wanted their teams to use AI. They wanted their teams to be leveraging that to bring more value. And the interesting part in talking to them, most of these, again, wildly successful businessmen and women that I was speaking to, they were not looking at it just for what it meant to the company, but they could see AI adding more value to the clients, which obviously is great, because that creates a better relationship, a stickier, probably more profitable relationship, but also what it meant to the employee. they recognize that virtually every person on our team has more tasks to do every day than they do time. And if we could help them do some of those tasks with AI, not all of them, it would give them more time to focus on the ones that required their insights. And I think that, you know, that was at least what I was hearing them embrace as they were out there. Your other question about, you know, is it good for an employee? You know, what about them not wanting to share workflows? So far in the clients that I've worked with, and I'm sure there are others that may see differently, but we're finding the biggest struggle is getting employees to understand that leveraging AI isn't bad for your job. It actually can probably make you more money. Because if we can teach you how to be twice as efficient or even 50% more efficient, and that can drive profits, there's more money to pay you for all kinds of things that you want, and therefore can benefit you in that context. I think as we move forward, we're going to see two types of employers, well, probably three. One, those that just don't embrace AI. They're not going to do it. Those that do embrace AI, I think, are going to fall into two categories. Those that are totally centered on how this benefits the company, and those that are centered on how does this benefit the company, the team, and our clients. And I think it's those companies that embrace the how does this benefit our company, our team, and our clients, because AI can do all of that at the same time. I think those are the companies that are going to create the right atmospheres and are really going to jump and, as I say, leap ahead of so much of their competition in that area.
A little anecdote on that, actually. Like I mentioned it in the beginning, I was actually in the middle of a consulting contract for a big German company when ChatGPT came out to the public. It was out before. And that contract finished in December. And then I was going to go on the next one with that same German consulting team. It was a big national company in Germany. And they said, you guys are not allowed to use the AI. It was a nice, juicy contract, but I was like, hell no. There's no way I'm going to even consider this because it doesn't make any sense. And now, not pretending that I'm like such a valuable employee, but I can see how what you just said, you know, those types of companies, they're not only going to be more profitable, more user, customer focused, and with a higher value to the customer, but they will actually also attract people that are more curious and are much more into this new way of doing things.
Yeah, I was gonna say, as you say that, and I haven't really thought about this a lot before, Camille, but I hear, and I immediately sense those companies that are going to go, no, we're not taking AI. That's their choice, and it's perfectly fine. But I think they're going to find they're not going to get the best and the brightest employees either, because those best and brightest team members are going to know they can leverage AI to do even more. And if a company says, well, if you come work for me, you're not going to use AI, that's a hill they can die on. But I'm afraid they're going to die on it, because they're not going to get the best team members. They're not going to get the best people. At least over time, I think we're going to see that. There's still obviously a lot of trades and stuff that need to embrace AI for what's happening. But I'm convinced, I'd welcome your thought, this is not a passing fad. This is not going away. You know, you're probably not old enough to remember, Camille, but I am. I remember when I started in the workforce and PCs were showing up on desktops. And there were those old timers that said, I'm going to keep my typewriter and my adding machine and maybe my abacus because it works. And for a few years, it was okay. But then all of a sudden, those people got displaced by people that embraced learning how to use a spreadsheet and a word processor and other tools like that. And nowadays, I challenge you to go to any office in any country and find it full of a bunch of typewriters and adding machines. You're not. You're going to find it full of computers.
On that, by the way. You can still do both, right?
You can, absolutely. Oh, yeah. My wife has a typewriter and she loves it, but it's not the primary thing that she's using anymore, you know?
Right.
So I think that's where AI is headed in that. I think that those, and I could be wrong, I'm pretty confident that those companies that go, we're not going to do AI, we're going to be authentic. I've heard that from some people. We're going to be authentic. We're not going to use AI. That may work for a while, and I think you will definitely find some people that subscribe to that, and that's appealing, just as it's appealing for me to grow my own food in the backyard. But as appealing as it is, I still go to the farmer's market because it's a lot easier than it is for me to grow it in the backyard.
Yes. You know, I think you're right. on a couple of things. Right now, I feel like AI, a lot of people have a very certain type of picture of what AI is because of the way it shows up in our daily life with the ChatGPTs and a lot of image generators and video generators and all that. But and there's going to be a time when people realize, oh, wait, I'm a carpenter and I can do Gaussian splatting with, or like radar analysis of a project, and then put that into AI and it can help me somehow. Or one of my good friends, his name is Peter Hurley. He's the best headshot photographer in the world. And we always have those conversations, right? I think there will be a, for very specific type of artisanal jobs, I think there are always going to be at least a segment of customers that just want that human touch. And that's cool. Like with photography, initially, I love photography, and I don't take any photos anymore, pretty much. Except with my phone, maybe. Like, this is my photo camera that's recording right now, because I didn't, you know, I didn't spend that money on purpose on a nice Zoom setup. It's just because I had it laying around, not using it anymore. But with photography, for example, it's not that you're taking an image and you show it online. You're actually capturing history, right? You're capturing how you were at that time in that place or whatever else you're taking a photo of. So there's a little bit of a different type of value to it, right? Yes, majority of photos will be created by AI, but there's still going to be a segment. So I can see that. But if you go pound for pound with your competitors in an industry where using AI, however it may end up being, is a clear advantage, there's no way you're going to have a chance. Like, absolutely no way. If that's the only differentiating factor, there's not going to be any chance.
Yeah. No, I couldn't agree with you more. I think there's more than that. And again, there will always be some. I mean, I just recently sold a home up in Michigan, and we lived in an Amish community, and there were still literally hundreds of families that took horse and buggies around. I mean, it does exist. But in the big picture, it's such a small thing. You know, it's funny. I'll use that as an example. Even in the Amish community, where they're basically not using any motors and they're not using engines and all that, do you know who I had? I bought a new generator and I had to run it through and get set up. You know who I brought it to? I brought it to the local small engine mechanic, who happens to be Amish and move everything around with a horse and buggy. So, I mean, even they have embraced it to say, okay, we can be skilled in this area, even if we're not going to use it.
Interesting.
And again, that may be an exception, and we're not that's not happening overnight. But I definitely think AI is doing that. I'm still really intrigued. It's a new thought, Camille, you gave me, that these companies that are we're not going to use AI, what impact that's going to have on the talent that they're able to hire.
It was the first thing, and it's not just that; it's countries too. Like every time, but I have some European roots. Every time I there's some innovation, I feel bad. Like I go on Twitter or something else, I'm like, sorry guys, not for you, not this time, right? It's I can't even fathom living there, you know, because of that.
No, and I think, you know, that's going to be an interesting trend that we're going to see over the next year or two, is how governments mess this up or don't mess this up, and we'll let the, you know, time will tell. But I definitely think we're going to see differences there, just even what you've seen since DeepSeek recently came out from China, and the changes that's caused in governments already, going, uh-oh, maybe we are behind, or maybe we are risking falling behind. And we're seeing changes happening literally almost overnight, which is not typical for governments because they don't want to be caught flat-footed either. It's been interesting, and I think it'll continue to be a very interesting journey as we go through that.
100%.
Just as we bring things in for a landing here, talk to me a little bit about where do you in a day-to-day basis, Camille, where are you regularly using AI today? Where is it most beneficial for you?
I publish a lot of content. So I started using it for writing. The first project that I did with AI back then when it started, it was a Friday. And I remember I made a bet with my wife. Hey wife, today I'm going to write, illustrate, and publish my first book, right? So that was kind of my gateway drug. It was a tiny little, let me see here. It was a tiny little kid's bedtime story book. And it was super fun. You know, I did that back then with the ChatGPT that was available. I illustrated it with
I love Midjourney. It.
And I always, I wrote a couple of other books, and I write a lot of content with it, including my own newsletters, and I write for other clients as well. So that's where I use AI, but I use it really as a springboard for other things. So, if you ask me, majority I use it for writing content, writing scripts, and then helping other people discover how to use it in their own fields. Because in a grand scheme of things, it's nice, but I'm actually looking to integrate bigger projects into big enterprise companies and customers, right? So it's really, on a day-to-day, it's mostly content creation.
Mm, good. Favorite tools? Where do you find? You mentioned you use ChatGPT for the book. What are your personal favorite tools as you take a look at things today?
I think majority of writing is done with Claude. Research currently still, I think ChatGPT deep research still dominates, but it's very closely followed by Grok. I have subscriptions to all of them. And the only thing that I'm lacking a little bit behind, because I'm just not, I don't think it's there yet, is video, AI for video, unless you want to spend a lot of time there. I actually, about a year ago, I helped a music producer from LA to create an entire singer and music artist. She's now on Spotify. I did her first music video back then. But it was just so much time spent, and maybe in a year or so, I'll do an entire Netflix production with a couple of prompts, but it's just not there yet.
Well, you know, you mentioned that, and it's an interesting thing to me on video. I agree, video is not quite there yet in many capacities. I think the other thing is that I think a lot of people don't understand that even with AI video, it's not that we're going to give it a prompt and it's going to create a 30-minute sitcom for us. It's we're going to give it a prompt and it's going to create a 5 to 10 second clip. And we're going to do that thousands of times in order to put a story together. And that's really exactly how they're producing things anyway. I challenged one of my students the other day who said, well, I just want to do a prompt and have it create a 30-minute video. And I'm like, go watch anything now and count. Don't pay attention to the story, but count how long the clips are. I said, you don't realize that we've gotten so trained, but the average clip is around 5 to 10 seconds, whether it's a movie, a show, or anything else. And they're switching. And that same thing, I think that understanding about video is something that a lot of the most people, myself included, who are not a video expert, just don't really think about. We kind of think, oh, I want to do a 30-minute talking head video, and I want to do one prompt and have it done, or I want to give this massive transcript and have it do this whole thing and make it sound great. And that's just not the reality of where we're at.
And you know, I think for people like you and me, one of the most valuable things that we can do in this space is really setting the right expectations and managing them so that people understand what it can and cannot do. One thing I forgot to mention, actually, since it's still so new, I'm officially a vibe coder now.
Oh, wow.
So for about a month now, I've been playing around with Cursor, .ai, which is like this, AI coding environment. This thing just blows my mind. I'm just running around building tiny little apps for my friends, my wife, just while we're watching a movie. I'm just showing her how that works. I code my own browser extension. It's been fun. And that's probably the tool that I spent the most time on in the last month, especially from the hours from 10 p.m. to 4 a.m., believe it or not. Like, sure. No other tool. There was, again, one of those rate of awe moments, like the magic moment for me. It was just incredible. I don't know how deep your developer background is, but for normies like me, it was just incredible. I can't believe it. And it also blows my mind at the same time that most people still don't know what's going on. So, the next thing is operators, kind of like a browser.
Operators
used.
Is gonna be massive.
That's something that I've been doing as well. But I think that's how I split up my time. Yeah.
Well, when it comes to development, I probably have less skills than you do. I'm a sales and marketing guy by nature, not a developer, and I don't know hardly a thing about
it. Have you played around with it at all?
I have. I mean, I was just saying the other day, I developed a Chrome extension the other day because I'm like, oh, I wish I had something to do this. And I'm like, I'm going to just ask Claude. And Claude literally helped me get it all laid out, told me what steps to do. And I'm like, I'm not a developer, and I'm sure that's not the perfect extension, but it did what I wanted it to do, and I developed the entire thing and got it running in under an hour, and I'm like, that's just blowing my mind that I,
yes.
me, with no skills, could do that. So,
yeah,
no, absolutely.
It's crazy. Well,
I love to ask everybody, Camille, that as we, you know, are kicking off 2025 now, we're almost through the first quarter, we're still seeing that there's a lot of businesses that are just now opening up to AI, and there seem to be kind of two schools of thoughts, as we've talked. It's either I'm going to ignore it or I'm going to embrace it and I want everything tomorrow. Mm-hmm. What advice would you give for that business that's like, okay, we've been playing around with it, but it's time to get serious? What should they be looking to accomplish in the next 3 months or 91 days in order to help AI gain acceptance, gain credibility, and bring value to their customers? What would should they do in the next 3 months?
Would you ask that from to a business owner or to an employee?
Probably to a business owner who's trying to decide how to do this, how to bring this into their business.
Well, if they're really new to this and they haven't done anything, like they don't even have a ChatGPT account, I would strongly recommend them on a personal level to find some sort of a personal pet project, like this book, for example. Okay,
I whatever love that it idea. Could be,
and then just try to make this one thing better with better tools, better prompts, right? Try to be more efficient and just get their mind blown. Then the rest will follow because they'll understand the capabilities. And it's even now easier than ever because of the voice interface, right?
Oh yeah.
Just talking to it about certain yesterday, but okay, just a short tangent. Okay.
Please.
But I'm just going to let you know. So I am a permanent resident, but I was like, oh, maybe I should just get my dual citizenship, right? Because why not? But previously, in Germany, if you want to have a dual citizenship, you would have to ask Germany for permission to keep the German one. And it was always like a tedious process and all that. And yesterday, while watching TV, just before my wife came out, I'm like, oh, can you run me through this? What do I need to say? What's the best way to explain that I still need my both citizenships, right? Tells me everything, right? We basically run the whole thing, fill out the form basically in via voice. Then at the end, I was like, oh, can you send me a link to where I find the form to fill it out? It goes online and it's like, doo, 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 doo. Hold on a second. As of last year, you don't actually have to ask for Germany for permission anymore. So let me just forward you. Let me just forward you to the N-400 naturalization form to the American embassy. I'm like, oh, wow, great. You know, problem solved. Like my mind was blown. And my mom was sitting next to me and she was like, what? You know, so those, if you would ask a business owner, the decision maker, I would try to catch them on a personal level, really try to understand. On the employee level, if you actually want to get promoted and work less than you do now, yes, embrace it. Try to start really small, maybe on things that you do. Obviously, there's this thing called shadow AI. I don't know if you've heard of it. When people bring their own GPTs into the organizations, then all kinds of regulations and privacy and what do you call it? Those secret information from your business basically goes down the toilet because people just copy paste everything. But if you can somehow solve a small problem, whether this is that weekly summary for your boss or if it's writing better emails, or I just published this prompt about a value proposition canvas, or even if you just want to do something about your business that it can do better and showcase the possibility with AI, start small and then have quick wins and then build on that, I think. But whatever you do in both scenarios, try to focus on very specific projects, because otherwise you'll be completely overwhelmed by this avalanche of things that are happening every single day. So I always say you have to put on those strategic horse blinders that only focus you on that specific task.
So true. Such great advice. I appreciate it. Well, Camille, if people want to get in touch with you and they want to figure out how to reach out, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, they can either find me on LinkedIn, where I'm very active, or on my newsletter, which is aiadopters.substack.com.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time today. Greatly appreciate having you here. Love your advice. Love chatting with you.
If you've
been with us listening or watching on the podcast, we're thrilled to have you as well. We, of course, always appreciate your feedback and look forward to seeing you on the other side. Make it a great day, everybody. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.